League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Seven o'clock here on Monday, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Thank you for joining us. And we are going to have John here in a second, just trying to get something figured out. He sounds like he's from back in the 30s. So just know that he'll have a flapper by his side and be trying to smuggle in booze somewhere as a bootlegger. That will be the case when you hear him. It was an exciting weekend, to say the least, of sports here in the city of Houston. And some of that involves the national scene, obviously. You had, on Friday, you had Oklahoma City coming from behind to tie the series up against Indiana because Indiana couldn't finish. And the NBA Finals has been the NBA playoffs have been just a series of teams not being able to finish games late. More comebacks than I can remember ever in the playoffs. We got John now. John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I was saying the playoffs have been more comebacks than I've ever seen ever, where teams just couldn't finish in the fourth quarter. And Indiana couldn't finish in the fourth quarter. They gave up the lead and then couldn't come back late in the last minute of the game against Oklahoma City. So Oklahoma City ties that series up 2-2. There was a lot of drama in that game. Then you have the Houston Astros on Saturday, and Cam Smith in what was an unbelievable pitching battle, a total of 7 hits total in the game, and only 3 for the Astros. 7 hits total. I think it was for the Astros 3. Was it 4 or 3 for the Astros? I think it was 3. And Hunter Brown had a career-high 12 strikeouts, did his job. Of course, couldn't get a win, you know, because Hunter Brown just balls out and can't get wins sometimes. But he did his job, and it was Cam Smith coming up with the walk-off hit in that one in extras, and the Astros win that one 3-2. And then yesterday, and we'll get to the U.S. Open in a second, and then yesterday the Astros were down 1-0 going into the eighth inning. They tie it up in the eighth.
They tied it in the ninth.
No, wait. Yeah, that's right. They tied it in the ninth. They had a chance in the eighth, but Victor Caratini kept coming up to the plate, which was disappointing.
Well, and not only that, but Guillaume, I mean...
Yeah, what the hell?
Shit in the eighth inning for that guy.
I know. I could not believe that he did. I was like, is everyone injured?
Is Christian Walker dead?
That's what I wonder. I'm like, how is Christian Walker not hitting in this situation? He did later. But so you had the Astros there. You had the Astros. And I just kept seeming like Victor Caratini. It just finds catchers. Although this time he was the first baseman. So Caratini wasn't playing catcher. He was playing first base. But he was hitting a four-hole. And the Astros end up tying the game up. It was, oh, my gosh, who tied the game up?
Caratini with the sac fly.
Yeah, that's right. Sac fly to left. He had a pretty good pop on it.
Yeah.
Went the other way towards the track. And I was really surprised that it could have come back and cost him. I was surprised they tried to throw out Jeremy Pena. And they didn't cut the throw off. He didn't throw to the cutoff, man. He tried to airmail it to the catcher. And it allowed Jose Altuve to get to second base in scoring position. That could have really come back to haunt the Minnesota Twins. I thought that was a dumb decision. You were not going to throw Jeremy Pena out, who, by the way, had stolen second base in that at-bat as well. So that was a good job by Jeremy Pena doing what Jeremy Pena does. And then Jose Altuve then beat out an infield hit. It was a hit and run. It was Jeremy Pena stole second. Well, he was headed for third on a steal. Jose Altuve hit a slow roller to Carlos Correa, who couldn't throw him out. It was too slow. Astros tied it up and then went to extras. Hader was fantastic. Runner starts on second base. Hader said, "That's where you're going to stay. We're giving you no breathing room." And then the Astros end up getting men on scoring position. They were able to work. They had a Duran is who they scored on in the ninth. It was Sands who they beat in the tenth because he they just hit the ball on him. And
they had two straight games with four hits and they won both of them against the Twins. Duran is supposed to be one of the best in the game and the Astros scored on him because Pena got on and Pena is a really good base runner. But coming through, Cam Smith coming through the way that he did on Saturday, and then Dubon coming through.
Were you surprised he didn't catch the left? I mean, that's a catchable. It's not easy. That was a catchable ball, but it's a really tough ball on Dubon's hit. I mean, it was deep enough into the crevice where it made it really difficult.
Yeah. No, that left center field is very difficult for guys that are coming in here not knowing it. I mean, you know, Jake and all the Astros know that really, really well. It is hard. It is really hard for guys that don't. First of all, the ball looks like it's out of there. The wall is really high, and you really can't tell. He should have caught that ball. He should have caught that ball, but he didn't. And the Astros win and sweep the Minnesota Twins. And you know, they're four games out of having the best record in the American League.
I know.
Four games.
It's incredible.
I mean, this team with these injuries, somebody put out there that Joe Espada should be considered with all of the injuries. Yeah. You haven't had Jordan recently, not Isak. All of the pitchers that you've had hurt. All of the rookies that you're playing. And somebody else made the point. They're like, "Hey, I heard we have the worst minor league system. How come we got all of these guys that are coming up and helping?"
Well, they
and
help. I mean, they do a nice. They do a nice job of helping
rookies.
I don't think any of these guys are going to be stars, though.
It doesn't matter.
25 and 26 year olds.
You're piecemealing it, and you're winning ball games.
Yeah, but it's not the minor league system. When they put those rankings together, it's who's going to come up and be the next stars. That's not what the Astros have in a minor league system, and yet they still have guys coming up and making plays. I mean, it's not a great minor league system. Look at the guys who are coming up right now. It's not great, but they're doing enough. I mean, they're doing enough. And Joe Espada does deserve a lot of credit. It's a long season to go, but he deserves a lot of credit. Look, you know, like, it's hard to just give you – you knew there was no Javier. You knew there's no Garcia. I don't really give you credit for that just because you know what your team's going to be headed in. It's the Arrighetti's missing that, you know, it's the Yordan Alvarez. That's
the Ronel Blancos.
It's Ronel Blanco during the season. It is Paredes now with an injury. It's all of that, and you're still winning.
Mm-hmm.
You're still winning. Yep. Like, it's really – and look, those could have been you could have lost two out of three easily. Easily
yep.
Lost two out of three in that series. There's been a lot of games. You talked about it, I think, a week or two ago. How many runs they're scoring six run and beyond this year? They're
well,
pulling
hold on.
Some –
How many with two outs? How many times – and you won two ball games this weekend with two outs in the ninth and tenth innings. You won both of those games with two outs. And it's incredible the percentage of runs that this team has scored with two outs. Incredible. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, the number that they've got out, that they've got this year.
Are you saying we're the Indiana Pacers of baseball?
You know, I don't know if they come back like the
Cam Smith is Halliburton.
No, listen. When they're down, eight, they're done. Okay, the Pacers ain't down. They ain't done when they're down 20. It doesn't. You know what? The Pacers are still able to come back. And you mentioned that series. I'll tell you what. Whoever won that game four is going to win this series.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You had to close it. If you're Indiana, you had to. You had your chance, man. You got to shut the door. Now it feels inevitable that Oklahoma City is going to win. I thought it was going to Oklahoma City 7-game series, is what I said earlier. I think there's still a good chance, but I also, I also think there is a very real chance of Oak City in six now.
Well, that was the pick before the series started. Mm-hmm. OKC in six, right? Indiana, it's, I don't know, they stole the
actually five and six were very close together.
You know, Oklahoma City has been the better team, but Indiana has been the more clutch team until the other night. Now they're going to go against. How stupid is the NBA not playing on Sunday night when there's nothing on? The NBA should have absolutely played last night instead of waiting until tonight.
This idea, I mean, that they had enough. That was really, from a TV standpoint, that just wasn't very smart.
Yeah, we got a lot to do today. Sorry about the sound. For those of you, I don't know if you can tell that I'm on my phone. We have no Wi-Fi, no TV. It's all weekend, nothing. They've got a cut line here, and the Spectrum has been working on it, and nothing. I mean, all weekend long.
Oh,
I
you had got to go to Spectrum?
Yeah. I got no choice.
What kind of poverty... Wi-Fi do you have?
That Spectrum is, you got very little choice here, Lance.
I've heard
what you're gonna do.
Well, it's like living in Kingwood just has to take whatever you get, you know. That happens sometimes.
That's it. You know what, I had to have an Xfinity when I was there, and now I have to have Spectrum here for my Wi-Fi, and it's miserable. I got nothing. We had to sit, me and my son and his girl are here, and my wife. We had to actually sit in the living room and talk last night.
Terrible.
Yeah. We just sat there and talked.
You should have played games.
The 1800s or something.
You should have played games, like heads up.
No
like
Wi-Fi. Yeah. No, I watched my games. I had to go to a bar and watch golf and Astros. I mean,
oh, because everything's Wi-Fi driven at your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything. Well, I could use my phone, but I had to watch multiple things. I had to watch the game. I had to watch the Astros, and I had to watch golf. So, I mean, it was miserable sitting in a bar all day drinking beer, watching the games. Miserable.
So you have that U.S. Open. So it's always, you know, it just depends on how bad it's going to be on the course for the players. Is generally speaking, that discussion's going to pop up. And yesterday, it was full throated. But you know, I mean, yeah, the roughs were brutal. But a lot of it was guys just couldn't make a shot. They played terrible down the stretch.
How about every drive? It seemed like they were fading it or just absolutely terrible into the rough. I mean, how about hit a fairway once in a while?
Hatton, Burns, and Adam Scott just completely cratered at the end.
Sam Burns, yeah.
I mean, yeah, well, Burns, Hatton, and Scott, they all
cratered. Yeah.
All three of them cratered. I mean, Hatton on one hole just, and he was about to beat the piss out of the course. He was so mad.
I'm like just like him, which is why I'm never going to win a U.S. Open. But when he misses a putt, he puts his hands on his knees, and he's so furious. He gets so mad out there. If it wasn't for his anger, Terrell Hatton should have two majors right now, but he is so angry out on the golf course that he doesn't let it go.
He was smacking the course. He had an impossible shot on, I think it was 16 or 17, where he was on a downslope by the all this rough by the sand trap, and he tried to get it over. Like, it was an impossible shot, and of course he didn't make the shot he needed to make, and he like slammed his club on the, like, what are you looking at? This shot you were never going to hit. You should have just hit sideways.
Right. Right. So I heard something this weekend that was really, really good, and it applies to the U.S. Open because it's so hard. He says, listen, you're going to hit bad shots. You're going to be in bad situations. You just got to let it go. You just let it go and hit your next shot. It's always U.S. Open situations for us because we're not good. So we're always hitting, you know, we're going to have difficult situations. Instead of being mad, just take it and take what the course gives you as opposed to killing yourself. And making a bigger number than you should.
Yeah.
Just take your medicine and move on.
Well,
that is great advice for all of us out there that play out there.
Well, JJ Spahn made a comment. JJ Spahn made a comment similar to that, where JJ Spahn ended up winning. I know most of you have never heard of JJ Spahn. He's a big toe guy for, I think 99.9% of America. You've never heard of him, but no, JJ Spahn, he played well. Really throughout, except for the first night. I don't know how often this has ever happened when a guy hits a 40, a five over on the front, and comes back and wins a major. Like, that's probably never happened ever.
Five over after six holes. I don't think that's ever.
On a U.S. Open track, you're not really coming back from that in most instances. But a lot of people came back to the – now, he legitimately made his way all the way back. But he was helped out, too, by some just really poor play by Burns.
Especially Sam
Scott,
Burns.
And, you know, Hovland was a little up and down but came back. But we got more to talk about with that one, because that was a really man, there was some interesting – like his shot on two – that hit off the stick. I mean, to get that much carry backwards, you've got to hit the stick perfectly square to get the equal and opposite reaction headed the other way. I don't know that I've ever seen that level of carry backwards. And, of course, it helped that there was a downward U.S. Open slope.
A lot of times it's worse, as good as that is, it's worse to hit the stick than obviously not, because it will ricochet somewhere. Sometimes it just dies right there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it usually ricochets, and you actually hurt yourself by being
that
accurate.
But he would have taken the ricochet all day as opposed to how far it went backwards, because it just hit a downward slope on the U.S. Open, and you know how those are set up. It's like set up for it to crater back downhill.
Off the green. All right, we got a break. We got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence, brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. That's coming up in about a half hour right here, so get yours ready. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I learned a long time ago about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. I learned about ProDunk. ProDunk is the way to go. ProDunk.com is Keith Tate's company. He's been doing this forever. No one knows the basket game better than Keith Tate. No one has a better basket than Keith and his son. They're fantastic. They are the best goals you could possibly have. With the temper, you will love the curb appeal of this goal, as opposed to the other goals that are out there that are just terrible. Plus, the kids will love it, because just with a push of a button, you can raise and lower the goal so that they can actually enjoy the game. It's the technologically the best goal you could possibly have. As far as looks, it's the best goal you could possibly have. As far as playability, as far as durability, all of these things. There's no better goal. We loved our hoops goal, and you're going to love yours too. ProDunk.com. You want your kids to actually be out there enjoying basketball. ProDunk.com.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, I was just thinking about this lineup. So I like Jordan in the two. I mean, Yiner in the two hole. That's it's pretty nice. But when Isak comes back, it'll be Peña, Isak, then Altuve, then Jordan, then Diaz. You can drop Christian Walker all the way down to six in this order.
Yeah, and you should drop him there.
And then Cam Smith, because right now Cam Smith, Jake is still pretty good. So Cam Smith's got his OPS up to 690. He's closing in on 700, which is really nice. I mean, 800 is where you want to get to be a good major league hitter. Jake is 758 right now, but Jake seems to hit better the lower in the lineup he is. If he's eight, you got Cam Smith at seven, you got Jake at eight, and then whomever at nine. You're gonna hit either Dubon or whatever you're gonna do in left field. This lineup is actually, when you get to back to full strength, you know, this team is. By the way, it's not even arguable anymore. Brandon Walter is your fourth starter. Good outing. This guy, he had a great outing. Then they sent him down, and then they needed another starter, so they brought him back up, and he was great. And then he starts again, and he's great. Brandon Walter is a pitcher, and he is actually your fourth best pitcher right now.
Yeah, it's a smaller sample size, but it's a good sample. I mean, it's smaller, but it's been good. It's been good. He's looked good. He's looked good. You know, that bullpen, though, is really unsung right now. There are some guys who I like Sousa. I like Sousa. I think Sousa's got a chance to be a really unsung player moving forward for them. Well, I don't know about unsung, but I mean the bullpen is the bullpen. But I really like his stuff. I think the movement he has, there's just something about lefties with that late movement on the baseball that makes him hard. And he can throw with some zip, but it was fun watching them come from behind. I still felt like they hit down 1-0. There are sometimes you just think, this is it. It's a boat race. It's done. But that was just – I just don't feel like that with the Astros right now. I feel like they're a confident unit. I didn't love that particular lineup having a chance to come back necessarily. But it only takes one swing.
But every big situation, Cooper Hummel is up or Guillorme is up. I was like, oh, my God. Is everybody dead on the bench? Are we down to nobody? Nothing again. And, I love that Joe says, you know what? You're up here in the big leagues. I'm going to put you in a situation. He's done that with Cam Smith. He's done that even with Brendan Rodgers, in a big situation. He put him up there, and he's come through. Cam Smith has come through. And Joe just says, you know what? This is where you are. I'm not going to pinch hit for you. Go get a hit in a big situation. Now, those two couldn't do it yesterday, but, he shows faith, even in young guys, maybe a little bit too much. I thought, I know Christian Walker's off today, but he could work. He could get you a sack fly or something. That'd be nice. What was not great was runner on second, nobody out in the 10th, and Cam Smith pulls an outside pitch. That's a young guy. Instead of going with that, he should have been thinking the whole time, I got to hit this to the right side to get him to third. And he pulled that pitch. It's hard to criticize Cam Smith right now, but that was one situation that he wasn't, as a big league hitter, I don't think he was thinking, because he's trying to pull that ball when all you need to do is hit it to the right side so you can get that runner to the third. But otherwise, man, hey, how cool was that? Did you think when Cam Smith hit that ball that it was a base hit?
No.
I thought it was going to be a 10 chopper to short.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I did not think that was going to be a base hit.
Yeah. And it got through. And you want to talk about ecstatic. That kid's at Florida State last year at this time in the College World Series.
Isn't that unbelievable? He's made it up this quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Alex Bregman didn't spend a lot of time in the minors. And historically, the Astros have never been a team that it's only been, more relatively recently, I guess, since 16 with Bregman, that they brought young star college players up quicker. But the reality is, if they're ready, you might want to let them breathe a little bit in the major leagues because you don't have as much time with them. They're just like George Springer, it's before you know it, and they're in their 30s and you're losing them second contract. So you might want to get them up and experience, let them get their experience and maybe push them along, because it's not like it's not like the high schoolers who go and have 3 to 4 years in the minors and they're pretty seasoned by the time they get up there. You're already 21, 22 years old. I don't want them playing. They have had seasoning against, they've had seasoning. Granted, it was aluminum bats and it was a different brand of baseball in college, but they played more baseball. They played plenty of baseball.
I was glad to see him
come up. I think he's done a really fine job for what's been expected of him. Continues to look like he's a confident player, has experienced some highs like he had on Saturday. I think that's important for his confidence to say, yeah, I can. When next time he steps up in a situation, I think he's going to continue to, hey, I've done it before. He has that experience now where he knows he can do it. And it's things like that that I just think are really important.
So how about, what a shocker. I guess it shouldn't be a shocker, but the way that Rafael Devers has acted this year, that the Red Sox just said, we've had enough.
Yeah, but a huge contract, and they dealt him to the Giants and they even said, we're done with this.
Yeah, we can't do it anymore. The Giants are picking up that whole contract, right? They've got Matt Chapman at third, and they got a big prospect coming first. So I guess they're just going to put him at DH and let him DH.
Do you play, Rafael?
I play third.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does play third. But he was a turd in Boston. There's no question about it. But man, the haul that the Red Sox got, I think this is going to end up really hurting the Giants. I mean, you want to talk about big prospects, first rounder, Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison. They gave up quite a bit to get Devers, and they're paying him quite a bit. But we'll see. We'll see whether or not they, Buster Posey said, let's go for it. And here they go. It was a bit of a shocker. I guess it was a bit of a shocker. When the other shocker this weekend was Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Big contract. Let's talk Rockets basketball on the other side. Steven Adams is going to be here for the next 3 years. That's a good thing. And we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And still ahead, what have you learned this weekend in one sentence? Brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. We're going to do that as well. Right now, though, I'm talking about Air Team. I set up a female friend, a friend that I know from Lulings, with Air Team. And I know this. I will recommend Air Team to anybody because I know the people over there. It is a family-owned business, and I really like family-owned businesses because, and especially family-owned businesses that are passed down to generations, because that'll tell you something. Because I have a few of them that we speak for. I love that because you know that they're doing the job right, and they're training the next generation to do the job right, and that's happening at Air Team as well. It is a family-owned business where they are going to do it right every time. They're going to give you a great product, and they're going to do – I'm telling you, they told me, listen, tell everybody to get there, and we're going to give you a great price on checking out your air conditioners. It's so hot right now. They've got to replace so many. You have got to get yours checked so that you don't have to replace it. Do that. But if you do have to replace it, you've got Air Team as well. AirTeamLTD.com. AirTeamLTD.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Steven Adams, 3 years, $39 million. What do you think?
I was shocked. Really shocked. And it's because he's not signing that contract to be part of a trade. Like, that's just not, he's not going to be part of a deal now to bring in Kevin Durant or something like that to make salaries match. He's not doing it. He's not signing that contract to do that. And the Rockets wouldn't do that to him. I think realistically you'd want to do a two-year deal. But you're not going to get what you want. Like, you're going to have to give a little bit more to Steven Adams because he is on the market. So you give him that extra third year. It's good. I mean, I think you gave him maybe 1 year more than you wanted to, but that's the price of doing business. And he brings toughness to the team. He's an enforcer to an extent. He's a benevolent enforcer. He's not going to just, he's not out there trying to just break heads, but he's if something goes down, he's not afraid to walk up on the party and just see what's going on. And he can block shots. He's a good athlete still. He is a physical rebounder on defensively and especially offensively, where he's the best offensive rebounder in the game. Like, I like it. I like it. I was prepared to see them go after a young, more inexpensive rim runner, a guy who was a little bit more of an explosive leaper and a catch and dunk type guy, who Steven Adams is not going to be that, but he's steady Eddie off the bench. And I mean, I like it. I'm surprised. It's about the money I thought he would get, but I was surprised they were able to do a 3 year deal with him. Now it's it sets up other questions about now, like, one of the only things the Rockets can now do if they want to, I'll say this, I'll let you comment on him, but I will just say Kevin Durant came out. He wanted to make sure they get it out there where he prefers to play, his fifth team in his career. The Heat, Spurs, and Rockets are where he's going to prefer to play. And the thought is he's saying that preemptively so that no one tries to trade for him other than those teams. Nobody.
Yeah.
And if you're the Rockets, the only option you have to try to make that trade work, to try to even get close, is you got to pick up you know, you'd have to pick up Fred's deal and then move, make Fred part of a part of the deal. And I don't know that that's an EMA move right now. I mean, you just, Steven Adams is not going to be it unless they wanted Jalen Green, but that would have to be a three-team trade because, and you know, I'm not crazy about giving up Jalen for a two-year Kevin Durant rental at most. I don't know that I love that. And you are getting a lot older. If you were to bring in a Kevin Durant along with a Steven Adams, you're getting a little older, but I don't know that it necessarily matters.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think
the core is still young.
The organization, I have no idea. I'm not going to speculate on what the organization thinks of Jalen Green. Jalen Green is there every day. Jalen Green had a nice season. It wasn't a great season. Jalen Green hasn't proven that he is a guy that can carry the team. I don't think he's proven that he's a guy that is he's got championship in him. I don't know. We'll see. But Kevin Durant said he likes three teams, San Antonio, Miami, and the Rockets. And San Antonio's out already. They said they want to get a young core around Wemby. So they're out. And whether or not he gets one of the teams that he wants to go to is a story. Dell, what have you heard about my? He says Miami. What do you have to do to get Kevin Durant?
Whatever it is, I hope you do it, Dell.
Well, Miami's not giving up their best young player in Khloe Ware, so a lot of teams in this mix aren't giving in to what Phoenix may want. So that's why this is probably taking longer than some people thought, because I think Sham said now it could happen, obviously, today. He said it could happen in the next couple of days. He said that on Friday. But Phoenix is looking for things that teams aren't willing to give up. And I understand the Kevin Durant aspect of it. Yeah, he's on his 15, but Phoenix started this. They brought this upon themselves because they really wanted Jimmy Butler. And then when they realize late that they can't move Bradley Beal, then they say, you know what? Okay, we'll move Kevin Durant to bring Jimmy Butler in. So they ended whatever relationship between them and Kevin Durant when they openly tried to trade him before the trade deadline. So now this is what they have to figure out because they can't bring him back. I think this is a thing where the Phoenix won't get nearly what they gave up for him.
No.
And the best thing they may be able to get is tax relief, salary cap relief, which the Heat can provide because they have a partially guaranteed contract that they can send Phoenix's way. Maybe a first-round pick, maybe a young player, but not even a team's best young player or even close. They're going to get probably pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, you cannot bid against yourself if you're the Rockets or anybody. Kevin Durant has limited the amount of teams. San Antonio just took another team out of it. So if you're Miami or Houston, you got to say, hey, we're not. And that's what the Houston thing concerns me because of the salary match. It makes it tricky because you're matching salary to try to get close to Kevin Durant's salary. You're giving away players you don't want to give away for a short-time rental, for a Kevin Kikuchi.
Well, here is Tim McMahon. Tim McMahon was on with Wendy. And Tim McMahon is saying the same thing, the same exact thing that I don't know that either Miami or the Rockets are prepared. And he speaks specifically to the Rockets are prepared to give Phoenix what they want.
You know, I know I'm best sourced in Houston. I think they would really like to have Kevin Durant at what they consider to be a reasonable cost, which I don't think the Suns would consider to be an appealing return.
He's not on sale. Well, he's going to have to be on sale because they're going to find out they're not getting what they – listen, you got a couple of years left with this guy, a couple of years. Well, you're not – you cannot mortgage the future for a guy that you only got a couple of years. No.
No, you can't.
His value is not the same as when they acquired him. Did you see what who was it said?
And the Rockets don't have any bad contracts to offload. That's the thing.
No.
You don't really have bad contracts.
No.
I mean, unless you consider Fred one, you pick him up, but that doesn't fall into the bad contract category. It's a one-year deal.
Did you see that? I think it was Bill Simmons. It was Bill Simmons or somebody said this weekend that Isaiah Thomas is the man behind the scenes with the Suns.
He's involved in Zoom meetings.
With coaches.
Oh,
holy
my God.
Crap.
We considered one of the worst, behind Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien, considered one of the worst executives in the history of sport.
And all of the moves that the Suns have made to bring in Beal, to bring in Kevin Durant, they all stink. They all stink of him. I mean,
yeah. How long has he been doing this, though?
Since he bought the team, Ishbia's been best friends with him. He's part of his company.
I thought he's part of his company. Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. That, I'm thinking of the Utah Jazz owners. Yeah.
No. No, since Ishbia got there, he is his consigliere, apparently.
Well, why wouldn't he have Isaiah Thomas, noted executive?
Can you think of anyone worse than him to have as your consigliere?
No, like I said, Jack Easterby is the only guy worse.
Well, you nailed it. Okay, but I think Isaiah is right there.
Yeah,
Maybe if he brings in. If he brings in Jack Easterby, then the Suns will never, ever win again. Ever win again. All right. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So, you guys have played the game. You know the game. You learned something this weekend, be it that Spectrum sucks, like I learned, okay, because I still have red on all of my Wi-Fi, which means it's not working. All weekend long, I learned that I had to talk to my family, which was a horrible situation, horrible, and so I've got stuff that I learned this weekend, and you've got stuff that you learned this weekend. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Get in.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Time to play the game show Sweeping the Nation, as you know. What do we learn this weekend in one sentence? There was a U.S. Open. There were Astros wins. There was a UFC fight night that I watched. There was an NBA fight. There was also Father's Day. You may have learned something on Father's Day. You may have learned something with a date you had. You may have learned something in the rain. Let's find out exactly what you learned this weekend in one sentence. Here's our phone number, 713-780-3776. Two lines are open right now. When you hear a line go off, jump in, call, hit the green button again, 713-780-3776. Let's find out exactly what you learned in one sentence. Dell, I'll let you call them off.
Well, let's go with Ocho. Ocho, what have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that the legendary Mr. Jason Voorhees was born 79 years ago this past Friday the 13th.
Wow. I don't know how he knows the date. It must have been said on one of the shows, but Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th was born. He's 79 years old right now and still killing. Still murdering.
As long as it's profitable, he'll be killing until he's 140.
That's right. Until you disincentivize his ability to murder with that mask on, he's going to continue to do this. Is this real? This is real time, right?
I believe so.
All right, let's get real Tom in here. What's up, Tom?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned if I get Penafil, I may be finally able to be the meat in a Docman of East Robin Orlando.
We don't include advertising.
No,
this is not the game that we include advertising. If John Granato were here, he would be furious with
you. If you want to attack Tom, well, I mean, we don't encourage it, but we'll allow it. But let's not include the advertisers in a Tom sandwich.
No, we don't say that.
No.
All right.
What kind of show do you think we are?
713-780-3776. Lines open. Keep jumping in. We got to come on now. We got to step it up. You guys are usually, this is where you shine. Most weekends you shine here. Let's go to Apollo. Apollo, what'd you learn this weekend? In one sentence.
Morning, fellas. I learned this weekend that Bregman left a good situation to a rebuilding one. Good luck, bitch.
Wow.
I mean, he's been playing pretty good.
I mean, they just swept the Yankees.
Yeah, they did sweep the Yankees, but, you know, we call that rebuilding here in Houston. Yeah. You see Houston rebuilding?
No. Well, the window is always open, as we've been told by Jim Crane. What I learned over the weekend is that the entire country hates the Sacramento Kings. Wasn't that what that was about, the no king stuff?
Oh, no. Sacramento
I thought
Kings.
They were really upset about the De'Aaron Fox trade.
They were not in the streets about the De'Aaron Fox deal to San Antonio. It was not about no Sacramento Kings.
Oh, anymore. I just saw no Kings. I just assumed
what that. What I learned is that Usman is still the same old boring dominant fighter if he can double leg you and get you down on the ground like he did to Buckley in the finale of the fight night, UFC fight night. Turn the TV off. It's over, kids. I don't even need that. Is that Ben?
Yes, that is Ben.
All right, let's get Ben in here. Ben, what did you learn this weekend? Just in one sentence, please.
Yeah, I learned that the No Kings protests were successful because we still don't have a king.
There's still not a king. They stopped. They
sometimes
stopped. They
you stopped have to be
Sacramento.
Preventative.
It was a preventative measure.
Yes.
And you also stopped the Sacramento Kings from doing whatever it is that they're doing.
You don't know what trade they could have pulled off if not for those protests.
I know.
You never know.
Yeah. Who else? Who's the next one to move?
Yeah. So could have been Sabonis next.
Sabonis? Are we going to just give Sabonis to – who would they give him to?
They just trade him to the Bulls because that's what they do. They just trade with the Bulls. Who knows who they could have given him to, but glad we got in the way of that.
Yeah. Who's this now? Chris?
Yeah.
Chris, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned – that the state of Utah is one bizarre place to visit, Salt Lake City in particular.
Yeah. It's different. Now, I was at Park City. Park City's not Salt Lake City. Park City's really nice. I'm sure Salt Lake City's supposed to be really nice, too. It's exceedingly kind. It's to the point of being, what's going on
like
here?
You don't believe how kind?
Yeah, like it's really kind people. It's very, very clean. Like it's nice. It's nice. Salt Lake City, I can't speak to Salt Lake City. I haven't been there. Although Matt Thomas did tell me when he was the voice of the Utah Utes, he just said nicest people in the world. But once it's out of work, if you're not in that religion.
Once you're out, you're out.
You don't like once. Yeah, once the job is done and it's your personal life, if you're not part of the club, ain't going to be a lot of socializing.
No socializing, huh?
No, that's a little bit different. 713-780-3776. Line's open. Jump in. We're going to finish this thing over the next 4 to 5 minutes, but we need your help telling us what you found out. Did you find out something a little weird? Did you find out something because you were out and about?
John, you
did not know?
You talked about what you learned in more than one sentence. Do you have anything you can tell us in a sentence?
Yeah, right now I can tell you that I learned Spectrum blows, okay?
Okay, there it is.
There it is. There's his sentence.
There's his sentence.
There's his sentence.
Let's move to Josh. What have you learned, Josh?
I learned that the explosives in movies are a lot more realistic than I ever thought.
Oh, now I want to know what that means.
Josh got a call back during a different segment to explain, if he wants to.
I want
to
know what that means now.
Maybe he worked on a movie set.
Well, that's why I want to know. That's what I want to know. I want to know if what that's about.
That's the beauty of what did you learn in one sentence.
Keeps you wanting more.
They leave you hanging, okay? You want more. That's the beauty of it. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend? You got one sentence to tell us.
Yeah, but make it a long one if you can drag it out and really tell us everything that happened. Like
you can use colons. You can use semicolons.
Yeah.
You can use commas.
Like ballerina, John Wick story. You want to have subtitles to the sentences as well? We can do that.
I learned that my wife is jealous of the colonoscopy that I'm going to have to get on Thursday because I get to do the colon cleanse. I get to do the colon cleanse on Wednesday, and she looks at that as a weight loss mechanism. I look
That's
at it as not super comfortable.
Does she know that you have to not eat?
Yeah, the
for clear, a certain the, amount of time
the clear
before.
Liquid thing is not fun.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Just doesn't seem appealing.
Mm-hmm. You're just knocking back a bunch of Dulcolax and Miralax.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Make sure that phone is charged.
Well, you can spend a lot of time in there. So let's move to Peter. Peter, what have you learned?
Morning, everyone. I learned that the growing trend of animated to live action might be worse than Marvel movies.
Who are we talking about here?
Animated what came out action? Over the weekend? Oh, How to Train Your Dragon's been out for a while. That was a big animated movie that's now live action. Okay. I don't know which one he's talking about, but yeah, they're not great. I don't like them.
We've seen live action to animated, but animated to but live action.
Yeah, you know, Lion King did it, although that was still animated. Aladdin did it. You know, Snow White did it. A lot of Disney stuff.
I sent John the article about how Hollywood is completely, literally deteriorating. And there's a lot of actors who are really, like our guy Eric Layden, really hurting right now. They just can't get, like the jobs just aren't available like they once were. Because there's so many movies being made where if you're not in a Marvel team, everyone's, all right, let's do a Marvel. Let's do a reverse Marvel. Can we do a reverse Marvel? Can we do live action? Can we take, well, that works, comic book to live action other than Marvel. Yeah, I guess that's work for them. But no one wants to do anything new because if it's not lucrative enough, everything costs so much. If it's not lucrative enough,
we're not taking that risk.
Financiers are not putting any money behind those kind of movies anymore.
Yeah,
shows.
We've got three more people online. Let's move to maybe the real Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, what have you learned?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is the real Tom.
Real Tom.
I learned that it's very much to your benefit to be a single child-free man on Father's Day weekend.
Huh. I'm intrigued. Yeah. But we can't get more. Oh. How will that play out? Single child free on Father's Day weekend.
I'm trying to think of how that would play out in a,
because
like there's a lot of women out there trying to. I don't know how that works out.
Maybe single women are available because they're married or married friends are with their husbands. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Let's move to Tom on.
Maybe Tom on a mobile knows.
Let's move to Tom on a headset. Can you explain what Tom, the real Tom, just told us?
Hey, guys, good morning. I learned over the weekend that my cousin has the best cannabis in town.
All right, we'll let that pass, even though that's not Tom saying it. We didn't say anything about advertisers.
Or a relationship with your cousin.
Relationship with that's where I thought it was going.
Same.
That's where I thought it was going.
I learned that my cousin has,
I'm like, oh, no, dump. And then it's like, oh, the best cannabis. Okay, we'll let that slide.
What's up, John?
You didn't hear the first Tom, did you, where he said...
I did hear the first
Man
Tom,
of Easton Robin
the
sandwich?
What it is that single moms get rid of the kids because they go to the dads on Father's Day, so they're all available.
Oh, that's got to be what it was. You didn't hear the first fake Tom, though, did you?
I didn't hear the first thing.
Said he'd like to be the meat in a Dr. Manavis and Robin from Powder Coaters sandwich.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Did you hear that, John?
No.
Okay.
Didn't hear that one.
Yeah, that was one. We said we're not bringing them into this. We're not doing that.
Draw a line at some point.
Yeah, you had to draw a line on your advertisers. We're not doing
that. Yeah. That's not what they were looking for when they signed up to advertise with us.
No.
Yeah.
We have to cut that
man off.
They're not
looking to be part of what did you learn this weekend.
Mm. Yeah. That's not what we were
only Game Day Men's Health wants to be part of.
Yeah.
What did you learn this weekend?
I don't think Game Day Men's Health absolutely wants to be to have any part of that at all.
Okay. We got Gil. Gil, what have you learned?
Morning. I learned that Michael Beasley is a maniac. And him and Lance Stevenson being teammates is diabolical.
If you missed it.
So what happened? They're supposed to play one-on-one.
Yes, but they're teammates, I guess, for the big three. But they also played one-on-one for a certain amount of money. And Michael Beasley won handily. But Beasley
They say Michael Beasley used to
give
LeBron James.
He'd give everyone the business one-on-one. Apparently, Michael Beasley turned it into, I'm going to treat you sweet when
I
was like, oh, man.
Why are those guys playing together diabolical? What
happened? I guess because of that interaction and also because of the 3-on-3 stuff. We had
really
Dwight Howard get into an altercation during Stephen Jackson. who is, speaking of Stephen A., playing solitaire, while the finals are going on. But Stephen Jackson, as a coach, threatened to beat up an opposing player after losing. We had a lot of stuff going on in the Big Three over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, and he berated his own team.
Yeah,
like,
for losing, yeah.
Stephen
I mean, it's the first game, and dude was MFing him like crazy in the locker room.
Stephen Jackson, by the way.
He ain't about that losing. He ain't about losing.
Well, Stephen is so extra, but did you see who was in the locker room with him, who's just part of the crew now? He's been on multiple times on the pod, on All the Smoke podcast. Vernon Maxwell's now officially in. Like, Vernon was there in the locker room with him. What could possibly go wrong with Vernon Maxwell and Stephen Jackson rolling around in the same places all the time? What could possibly go wrong?
Two non-volatile individuals. We got one more, and it's another Tom. This time, Tom on a mobile.
Oh, no.
What have you learned?
Hey, guys. It's the real Tom on a mobile. So, I learned the real meaning of the word cuck. Colin, my girlfriend had a great time.
You wanted a longer sentence.
Colin.
John wanted a longer sentence with colons, and he got one.
Three of them. Three Toms and a regular Tom. This is like, what's this show where the guy had all the versions of himself where he went inside the little cube and they were trying to fight each
other?
Joel
Edgerton. I forgot the name of the show, though. Yeah, I know what you're talking
Apple
about.
TV?
On Apple, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what this is.
Let me see. It was called Edgerton. Dark Matter.
Yeah, Dark Matter, yeah.
Yeah, this is Dark Matter with all these Toms.
Tom's just trying to get to a single lady.
He's just trying to get to get back to a single lady. Yeah, all these versions of Tom keep coming out of the cube.
Oh, so that ends. What have you learned?
I don't even know if John's even on the show now.
He's still here.
Is he there?
Yeah, he's here. I can see him at least.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Okay, there he is. All right. I didn't know. All right, 8 o'clock. So we'll break it. So we do have a lot. We'll get back to the Astros. The Astros' big win. We'll touch a little bit more on Steven Adams. If you have thoughts on that, I would imagine most people are excited about Steven Adams going back to the Rockets. 3-year, $39 million deal. And there's some baseball notes as well. Major trade. There is an iconic player who's getting ready to do something for the first time in 21 months today. And there was a big, big trade in the NBA. Well, it was, I don't know, an unusual trade in some ways yesterday that we'll talk about as well. And we probably want to hit on U.S. Open a little bit more. 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
But first, John, tell them about HRMP.
Well, why don't we try to reconnect, and we'll do this later. Let's just take a quick break. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.